Okay, so far we're discussing about how we're supposed to speak to each other and not be satisfied with just having good thoughts, but to share them, and how to share them in a pleasant way, in a positive way, without any judgment. And as we learned yesterday at length, even someone who you think like they're unable to get the message, and you have to give them speak to them strongly and harshly, on the contrary, you should look deeper into who they are and the circumstances they're in, you'll discover that someone who has Hashem has specifically sent challenges to and has succumbed to those challenges has unique soul powers. And Dodin is called Kav Schus. You have to look for their merits and look for the merits. Where should you look for the merits? In their mistakes, because Hashem must uniquely have gifted them with these soul powers in order to enable them to arise out of where they are. So now we're going to continue and discuss the same theme, but not about the future, but about the past. So what we learned till now is only about the present and the future. We're talking about how in the present and in the future to talk to another person in a soft way and with respect. In addition to this, there's another lesson about the past that we learned from Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, which is right before the 15th of Iyar, which was that Shabbos when the Rebbe gave this for bring, the Friday before. You do a Piskam Hakam Muchan Mur. Pesach Sheni, who it's known the teaching of my father-in-law that what is Pesach Sheni about? Pesach Sheni is meant to tell us that it's never too late. Could always correct the past, even though the past wasn't the way it wasn't good. It's always possible. It's never too late. Also, Hashem gave the Jewish people another chance to offer the carbon Pesach, the Paschal sacrifice, so too in regards to everything in life, it's never too late to fix the past. That is a move gaining linenu, and so too does this apply to what we're talking about, the way we speak to others. Kashim has been made safe in Hagan Esmil. When you think about how you acted yesterday, close Nagam Avar, and you think in general about how you acted in the past, and you see that there are some things that you've done that weren't in sync to what we learned about. They weren't, in other words, you didn't speak in a respectful way. You didn't speak in an honorable way. You have to know that's not too late. Yes, never and so however, you have the ability to correct the past. Since you heard this message, this teaching, from my father-in-law, the leader of our generation, those words apply first and foremost to you. Since you heard those words from the leader of our generation, those words are meant for you. What are they meant to tell you? That you are able and you need to correct the past. This means you should not think that those words of the leader of our generation were said to all the Jewish people. They were said to the whole community. But since you heard these words, although they certainly apply to all the Jewish people, and they apply to the entire community, but the very first meaning of those words for you is that these words apply to you. You heard those words from the leader of our generation. You heard about this teaching from the leader of our generation. You have to know this teaching was meant for you. It seems like to me the reason why the Rebbe uniquely highlights this over here, I mean, everything that the Rebbe says applies to every person individually, but regarding mistakes, I think there's a certain gravitation to thinking that your situation is unique because your mistakes are so terrible that you can't possibly fix them. And therefore, the Rebbe tells you, when the Rebbe says that you could fix the past, it's never too late, he means you too. He means you. I was saying it for a reason. Actually, then now that discusses the guilt. So, okay. Wow. Yeah. And regarding the lesson we learned from Pesach Sheni, it's understood that the condition, in order to correct the past, is you have to feel that your behavior in the past was leaves much to be desired, and you want to fix it. But to first realize that there was an issue, which was super terrorist closing Pesach Sheni. Let's look at the story of Pesach Sheni. When these Jews, who could not offer the first Karban Pesach, they couldn't celebrate Pesach, when they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't come to Moshe Rabbeinu with a suggestion. It wasn't a suggestion. Like Rabbi Shustin says that he has a box for suggestions. Something just a suggestion, then it gets relegated to a certain space. They didn't come to with a suggestion to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rather, what happened was these people couldn't celebrate Pesach. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they complained. Why are we worse than everybody else? Why can't we bring the Karban Pesach? They felt that, and they knew that their situation wasn't okay, and they wanted to fix it. That's where they were. They weren't. This is a good idea. They felt and they knew it's not okay. And only because it mattered to them, and only after it mattered to them, then they merited to hear Hashem give them a new Torah portion, the Torah portion of Pesach Sheni, the Torah portion about, yes, you will have another chance. Hashem is going to give you another opportunity to bring the sacrifice. I know. That means that their claim, that their complaint was accepted by Hashem, and they were given the opportunity to correct the past, which is what Pesach Sheni is about, that you, when you do feel, you feel that there's an issue, not just a suggestion, but you feel you want to fix the past and it bothers you, then the Eibishter gives you this opportunity. Here we see the greatness of a Jew. A Jew is not in the best situation. He's not acting in the best way. Nevertheless, although he's not in the best situation, he's not acting the best, he's not in the best of circumstances, nevertheless, when he comes and he claims and he asks, why am I worse off? It doesn't matter. Hashem accepts his claim. But it doesn't make sense. At first glance, it doesn't make sense. How could these people come with a claim and a complaint and why should we be worse off? They know why they're worse off. They're worse off because they weren't pure. And not only were they not pure, but it was their fault. I'm not sure why they're saying it was their fault. Could be there was referring to later generations who have the same opportunity to bring the Karban Pesach, even if it is their fault. But it seems that that generation, when they left Mitzrayim, those who had to carry the bones of Yosef, according to one opinion, or Dant of Naviu, wasn't necessarily their fault. Maybe it was their decision to be part of that mitzvah. But maybe that's what but either way, this doesn't just apply to that generation. It applies to all generations, even when it is your fault. So when you can't bring the first Karban Pesach because you willingly became impure, so then you're still given this opportunity. So the question is, why are you saying why? You know why. You know you're not pure. You know it's your fault. So why are you saying why? Well, where's the why coming from? The why answer to your why is that you're impure and it was your fault. So why are they saying why? Because they're Jewish. And by a Jew, all the things in a Jew's life which are not the way they're meant to be are just external, just superficial. And they do not change at all who they are. Since their very core is absolutely perfect, Therefore, they complain and they say, why should we be worse off? So they realized that they were impure. They realized it was their fault. But they said, listen, that's not who we are. That was a mistake. But why should we be worse off? We're Yidden. Why, all the mistakes we made are superficial. Why should we be missing out? We are your children, Hashem. We belong with you. What's going on? Why can we be part of this? Yeah, we made mistakes, but you know who we are. Avl idach, on the other hand, Bachashi the Yarger says, on the other hand, they have to know and they have to feel there's an issue. They have to come and say, why should we be worse off? When they come and they claim and they're upset, then Hashem empowers them to correct the past. So what this means is, regarding Torah study, the Mishnah says, an embarrassed person cannot learn. If you're embarrassed, you have a question, and you don't want to ask your question because you're embarrassed to ask your question, you will not know the answer. You're not going to know because you didn't ask. And just like this is true for Torah study is the source of creation. As it says in the Talmud, that the Torah is the blueprint for creation. God looked in the Torah, and with what he saw in the Torah created the world. So if it's true in Torah study, that you cannot study Torah if you're embarrassed, so too is this true in life. If you want to correct something in your life, you can't be embarrassed about it. If you're embarrassed about it, and you're not going to ask, what could I do about this, you're not going to be able to fix it. You have to shuckle off this this shame and have the temerity to ask, what can I do about this situation? And if you ask, just like those Jews asked, they said, why should we be worse off? So too, when a person asks and asks of Hashem, but first of all, Lama Nigara, why should I be worse off? I want to fix this. That is what allows, that's what opens the door to make it possible. In other words, until they asked, there was no actual solution. It was because they asked that there's a solution. And so too, personally, because a Jew is bothered by something that's going on in his life, that's, and he asks and demands of Hashem, and he says, this can't go on like this, this can't be, that itself creates opportunity, opens the door. Yeah, follow so far?
I think the key word is remorse.
Remorse.
Because you're not asking God to correct your sins. That's, can't do that. But he is giving you the opportunity, Shuvah, to bring yourself close back to him, which is, that makes sense.
Right. You're asking not just that he should bring you to him, you're also asking him about all the impact of all the mistakes that you made.
Of course.
Not just the deeds themselves and...
Right.
The musician Maggot says that a child is not afraid of the cavity. He's afraid of the dental treatment. A Jew is not afraid of the person naturally, not afraid of the sin. He's afraid of the rectification of the sin, the punishment. So doesn't want to get the punishment. He's not afraid of the sin itself. But really, the issue is not the dentist. The issue is the cavity. So there's an issue. The issue is that there's an aveira. The issue is a separation, Chas v'Shalom. But besides separations, also we're talking about talking to people. I mean, we're saying words that weren't good, and that affects relationships and affects and there's a lot of other things that happen as a result of those words. And so I was saying that you have to realize that if you bothers you what you've way you've hurt someone, Chas v'Shalom, way you've disenfranchised someone from having a relationship with you because of something hurtful you said, you shouldn't think it's over. You can go to the Eibishter and you can tell the Eibishter Lama Nigara, and Hashem will open the door. That the issues that were created will also be that Hashem will help you fix them. Not just calculation with Hashem, but also with those that were Chas v'Shalom hurt. Those were affected by not speaking in the way of Emor. This is also connected to another teaching in that we're going to learn the Shabbos. The Mishnah, actually not this Shabbos, it's the next Shabbos, the fourth chapter, Pirkei Avos. This is also connected, this idea that you have to ask, and it has to bother you. This is connected to chapter 4 of Ethics of Our Fathers, where we read in Mishnah 20, the teaching of Elisha ben Avuya. Lishbenavuya famously was sinning with someone, and she said to him, "Aren't you the great sage Lishbenavuya?" And he says, "No, I am someone else. I am Acher, I'm someone else." So that's how he became known as the someone else. He's not the same guy. So it says about Lishbenavuya that he, what was the reason? Or Meir, his student, asked him, "Why did you leave Judaism?" And he answered, "I left Judaism because, why don't you come back?" Or Meir was saying. So Lishman Avoya said, I was Yom Kippur, and I heard a voice come out from heaven, and Hashem said, "All of my foolish children, I want you to return to me, all my wayward children, return to me except for Acher, except for me." In a move on the question could be asked, how could you have any complaints to him? Hashem himself said, "I want everyone to do tshuva except for him, except for you." So what do you expect from this guy? The next answer is this. Although we heard a voice come down from heaven, and the voice said, "Return all my children, all my wayward children, except for Acher." He still should have tried to do tshuva. He still should have came and said, "Why should I be worse than everybody else?" And certainly, if he would have tried and done tshuva, it would have been accepted. Although the voice came out from heaven, the voice said, "No, I'm not going to accept your tshuva." But if he would have ignored that voice and he would have come to Hashem and said, "No, I'm not leaving," then Hashem would have accepted him. The Gemara says, when you're at someone's home, you're a guest, whatever the host asks you to do, you should agree to do, except for one thing. If he asks you to leave, you know, you're not obligated to leave. Hainu, what this means is, although he is considered your master, you're a guest in his home, and whatever he asks you to do, you should do. Nevertheless, when he asks you to leave, you don't have to listen to him. So too is this true in regards to Acher. Although he heard a voice, the voice indeed said, "Return all my wayward children except for Acher." He shouldn't have listened to this Baskel. He shouldn't have listened to this voice. Since Hashem himself wrote in the Torah that whatever the master says you listen to, except if he tells you to leave, Hashem says that in the Torah. Therefore, he shouldn't have listened, doesn't need to listen to this voice that tells him to leave the realm of holiness. Maybe the issue was that he actually felt he was on such a high level, and because he felt on such a high level, therefore he felt like he's hopeless. He knows he is expecting much more of him, and therefore he thought that he couldn't possibly get out of this. Like he knows who he is. And this is the Rebbe's saying that what he should have realized is that Hashem says in the Torah that despite the fact that you're told not to that you have to leave your host's home, you never leave. If your host tells you to leave, you don't leave. And that's the accusation that was leveled against Acher, even though he heard this voice. The question is, Madua Hashem Lavasko, why did he listen to that voice? Why didn't he try to do tshuva? If he would have ignored this voice, and he would have made an effort, and he would have said to Hashem, "Why should I be worse than everyone else?" The end is, the tshuva would have been accepted. As we see, practically, that the end of what happened was that Rav Meir, Rabbi Yochanan, they, after he passed away, they prayed for him, and they rectified his soul. So we see that it wasn't true. The voice was really a distraction, a challenge that Hashem sent him, but it wasn't the truth. If he would have ignored the voice, Hashem would have accepted him, and that's what he should have said to himself, he should have said, I can't be outside. It should have bothered him that when Hashem said that to him, Hashem apparently, in other words, was trying to make him feel like, Hashem was trying to evoke within him, huh? Hashem was trying to evoke within him this sense of feeling love, of love, of yearning, of like, no, I want to be back with you. What's the lesson? The lesson, I think, is that... Well, there are not just voices. We're talking about mistakes made in the past. And you could have a very strong voice in your mind, and it sounds like a holy voice, like a voice from heaven. Just like hearing a voice from heaven, you could have a very holy voice from heaven and say, you do not belong in the realm of holiness. You do not belong with Hashem because you know your mistakes. It's a voice. I think that's the key over here. It's a voice from heaven. We also have very spiritual, holy voices that are really from the Eight Sahara, which are, these voices are meant... They're true. It's true that because of all he's done, he certainly doesn't belong. But that's just external. That's not who he is. Like the Rebbe said about the verse, Hashem Mitzrayim Avidim Mesa. It says the Egyptians made the Jewish people work hard. So by day and by night. So the Rebbe spoke about how sometimes a person tries to maintain purity in himself. But Rachman al-Utslan, at night, if not guilty, it seems... And he becomes impure at night. He has thoughts when he's sleeping. And he impure thoughts. Egypt is enslaving him at night. So it's analogous, Rebbe said, to a father telling his child, I don't want you to stay in my house. And the purpose of him experiencing that rejection is not so he should stay outside. That voice from heaven that's telling him to go out of Hashem's house is meant to evoke within him this Pesach Sheni feeling, this deeper feeling. That's what Hashem wanted to evoke in Ach. He wanted him to say, no, I want to stay with you. He wanted to bring out in him this deeper connection, or to rectify his past. He had to have that sense of, no, I want to be close to you, that deeper feeling. So a similar way, when a person has that kind of, looks at the mistakes in the past, or in the analogy that Rebbe gave a person tonight, that's meant to evoke within him this yearning. This thing, I want to be close to Hashem. And this is a lesson we learned from the 14th of Iyar Pesach Sheni. When a Jew notices that his behavior in the past was not okay, not only is it within his power and ability to change his behavior in the present and the future, but he also has the power, it's within his power and within his ability to correct the past as well. And when can he correct the past? When he comes to Hashem and he claims and he complains, he's bothered, he asks deeply, why should I be worse off? Where's the question coming from? Since he knows that deep down he's okay, not just he's okay, deep down he's perfect, deep down he's a Jew, all the mistakes are only superficial. And when he comes to Hashem and says that, I'm your child, why should I be left out? Why should I be subjected to the mistakes I made in the past? Then Hashem, he has a merit. Hashem gives him a new Torah portion. Parshas Pesach Sheni. That means Hashem gives him a new Torah portion. In other words, Hashem gives him a new lease on life. A new door is opened for him. He's able to correct the past. This is also connected to the 15th of year, which follows right after the 14th of year. The year that Rebbe gave this Farangin, Pesach Sheni was on the 14th of year, and this Shabbos that gave the Farangin was on the 15th of year. What's the 15th of year about on the year that Rebbe gave the Farangin? 15th of the year was about Shabbos. The 14th of year was on Friday, and the 15th of year was on Shabbos. What's the message from Shabbos? How does this relate to Shabbos? The essence of Shabbos is that the heavens and earth are complete. That means that they're not just, they were done, but they're in a state of perfection. They're in a state of elevation. They're in a state of yearning. That means that all of the things that were done throughout the week, they're elevated on Shabbos to the most perfect way. They're in a state of yearning, they're in a state of pleasure. all of the energy, everything that happened throughout the week, all of the existence of this, all of the divine energy that animates and creates everything in the world throughout the 6 days of the week is elevated to a place of pleasure on Shabbos. If Shabbos elevates all the 6 days of the week, certainly it elevates the day before Shabbos. Here, it elevates Pesach Sheni. So what this means is that it's not just that you're able to correct the past somewhat, but just like there's perfection on Shabbos, so too you have to realize that you're able to perfect completely all the things of the past. Just like on Shabbos is an elevation of all the energy of the week, so too Pesach Sheni is uniquely... Pesach Sheni is about you're able to correct the past. But the message of Pesach Sheni preceding Shabbos is that how much can you correct already? It seems to be a pretty negative situation. So the Rebbe says you have to correct it perfectly. Like Shabbos is perfect, you have to make it a Shabbos, like a perfect situation. This is also the meaning of one of our prayers. We say, Our Father, our King, write us down in the Book of Merit. Question is, what are we asking for? If we have merits, we're in that book anyways. If we don't have merits, what are we asking for? The answer is, we're asking Hashem to give us the ability to rewrite our past, so that our past mistakes are not about the mistakes, but rather they're about how they catapulted us to a whole new level of connection to Hashem. How those mistakes in the past brought us to such a far better place than we were before. They brought us to the perfection of Shabbos. Because Zveinu write us in the Book of Merit. We're asking Hashem that we should write those mistakes in the Book of Merit. Thank you. Yeah. Chaim, Chaim, Racham. Any questions, comments? Halskov?
That's what I come here for. Yeah, the higher the wall, the further the capstone, the top stone falls from the base.
Right.